If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Well, we got that out of the way. 720 WGN, one of the most quoted movie lines since 1980, I guess. Don't call me Shirley. That, of course, from Airplane. David Zucker, Jerry Zucker, Jim Abrahams, they're the directors, the writers who've conceived Airplane, and author of a book, Surely You Can't Be Serious, The True Story About Airplane, complete with an article called, or complete with a chapter called Dial-A-Fart, which I found to be extremely interesting when I got into exactly what that was. And you know what it is? It's exactly as it says. But, you know, they're not just frivolous people. David just celebrated his 35th year as the longest-serving board member of Tree People, which is a tree planting operation in L.A. And Jim and his wife, Nancy, have co-founded the Charlie Foundation to help cure pediatric epilepsy. So they laugh, but they do good deeds. All three of you, welcome to WGN in Chicago.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Nice to be here. Jim, it's good to hear your voice again.
Yeah.
Haven't seen Jim in 20 years. Yeah.
It's nice that we could bring you all together again.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a bit of a reunion.
We haven't seen each other for years.
Yeah. My brother haven't seen it in years.
David, yes. Are you out on your own recognizance now?
I wear an ankle bracelet, but we don't need to. I don't think you need to say that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We get into it, you know, a little in the book anyway.
Oh, yes. Do you ever? Great book. You know, great book for people who love Airplane. It's full of items and anecdotes, things that you never thought of, things that happened, reflections of the cast, the key to the kingdom, so to speak, if you will, if I can use that term.
Nice.
Because, okay, so you guys, pretty much, you're young, you're up at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, take a class called Intro to Radio, TV and Film, and they give you a videotape recorder. And it's like, wait, I don't do videotape, I do film. But at that time, you know, you do videotape, right?
Well, we had an opportunity to borrow some videotape decks from a friend of my dad's, and I told Jim about it, and I said, why would we want to do video? You know, I want to do film, but then we decided, hey, after we saw this, actually, I saw a show called, it was called Void Where Prohibited by Law. It was
in Chicago.
In Chicago. I went down for a weekend, and that was a videotape show, and there was a video monitor on one end of the room and a Coke machine on the other end and a big waterbed in between. You know, it was the early 70s.
Yeah, I know.
And so that's where we got the idea to do a theater.
Right. And so this concept of doing like sketches and putting them together and doing it live, that went for a few years in the Kentucky Fried movie. You did had a Kentucky Fried theater. You did not stand up, but you know, almost like sketches. If you might, I hope this isn't. I tell you the right way. Sort of like a Saturday Night Live. I mean, bit to bit.
Sure. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Before we go ahead. Do you like when people answer your questions? I've noticed sort of a modern phenomenon when people say, oh, that's a great question. And then they go, do you like when people do that with you?
Well, if they sincerely
believe. That's a great question, Jim.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, but Jerry's not sincere, yeah.
You know, I got to realize I'm going to be set up about a million times during this hour. nothing is as it seems. So you get this videotape thing. You do this Kentucky Fried Theater, Kentucky Fried presentation. You do Kentucky Fried movie. And you have this videotape, as I understand it, videotape recorder. And you have it in your home, and you let it run all night, hoping to get something. And you did get something. What did you get?
Well, it was a late night movie called Zero Hour.
Yeah.
And it was a 1957 black and white movie. Dana Andrews, Linda Darnell, Sterling Hayden, and also Elroy Hirsch, who was Crazy Legs.
He
was a halfback, yeah, for UW. And it was the perfect movie. It was not funny at all, but it had the perfect plot. It was so serious that it was funny. It actually had the line in it, "Stewardess, I hope you know what our chances are. We have to find someone back there who not only can fly this plane, but who didn't have fish for dinner." and so that we cracked up at that. So it wasn't, we didn't have to push it too far to put the jokes in.
Well, I have assembled a 53-second montage of dialogue from Zero Hour and corresponding dialogue from Airplane when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Landecker at 18 minutes after 8, having a very good time, as I expected, with David Zucker, Jerry Zucker, and Jim Abrahams, who directed, wrote the great movie Airplane, and also authors of the book Surely You Can't Be Serious, The True Story of Airplane. Now, as before the break, we were talking about you guys running this videotape overnight and then discovering this movie. And would it be fair for me to say that, I mean, this is just hypothetical, of course, that if you had never seen this movie, there wouldn't have been an airplane?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, we were
no question.
Very good. Is Jerry on this call?
Yeah, Jerry's here, yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jim,
I wasn't sure.
You?
Can we just backtrack then just a second because we talked at the very beginning about charitable endeavors that Dave and I have been involved in. Jerry has also been very magnanimous and successful in his post-airplane life, too. And I'm not sure how that got skipped over, but I just wanted to backtrack.
Well, good. I'm glad you did.
But I'm very embarrassed about all my charitable work.
So good.
Yeah. I don't. A lot of people
never
don't like it.
Never talk about it. Yeah.
Nobody likes a do-gooder, you know?
So this.
There would be no airplane.
Okay, I saved some lives, and I've made the world better, but nobody, you can't talk about that stuff. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. All right, so this movie is called Zero Hour. It's a 1957 black and white movie starring Dana Andrews, Linda Darnell, and Sterling Hayden, and I've assembled a little montage, and when you hear it, you'll understand why I asked. If you hadn't seen this movie, wouldn't there be no airplane?
Who's got the cigarettes?
Here.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Chief, we got fog right down to the deck. Every place east of the Rockies. There's no possible place they can land. They'll have to come through to Chicago. Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Hello. Hi.
This is Captain Wilson and our first officer, Mr. Stewart, and this is Mr. Stryker and his son, Joey.
Joey, here's something we give our special visitors. Would you like to have it?
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
You ever been in the cockpit before?
No, sir. I've never been up in a plane before.
Joey, we have something here for our special visitors. Would you like to have it?
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Sure. You ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir. I've never been up in a plane before.
You'd better tell the captain. We've got to land as soon as we can. This woman has to be gotten to a hospital.
What do you think it is?
You'd better tell the captain. We've got to land as soon as we can. This woman has to be gotten to a hospital.
A hospital? What is it?
It's a big building with patients, but that's not important right now.
Oh, man. I had the best time putting those two things together because to me, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff in the book about Airplane. And many people know about Zero Hour, but I didn't. And when, you know, I thought like, Airplane, you know, you've got the airplane disaster movies with, you know, Hollywood stars, Airport and all of that. I thought, well, that is more than likely where, you know, Airplane comes from. No, this is Zero Hour. You guys literally, well, you did so much of it, you bought the rights to the movie. Is that correct?
Right. We gave the script. We showed the script to John Landis, who is a friend of ours.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, guys, this isn't a parody. This is plagiarism. So that's when we went ahead and bought the rights.
Yeah. Amazing.
And in fact, at the time, you know, Airplane wouldn't exist if there had been no Zero Hour, because we were good joke writers.
Right.
But we really were clueless about how to write a screenplay,
yeah,
or just a three-act play, mm-hmm, with character, you know, arcs, and I get in trouble in the first act, and resolves it, and, you know, in the third act, all those elements of good storytelling, we were clueless about. And that was really Zero Hour's strongest point.
Yes, indeed. And as I said, I had not seen it, but I found it and was fascinated by watching it and really realizing
it's actually a good movie.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not, you know, not a classic, but it's no airplane. We actually loved it.
I said it's no airplane.
Yeah, right. But it's the story is really good. I mean,
yeah,
you know, you could teach film structure from that movie.
Well, there's a pilot who has to take over when people get sick on the plane, and that's the movie Zero Hour, and obviously that also happens in Airplane. So you bought the rights for like $2,500. That's pretty cheap to buy rights for an entire film, isn't it?
I think it was an option we bought for $2,500, and then
gotcha.
The actual price was probably $25,000, something like that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, and those
Paramount
guys
paid it. Paramount was glad to pay it, yeah.
I don't want to jump around, but I guess I'm going to now, since you mentioned Paramount. So, and I'll come back chronologically prior to all this in the next half hour. But you get the movie, and you're going to have a premiere, and the premiere is on the Paramount lot. And it did not go well, did it?
No. In fact, back then, movies were reel-to-reel.
Mm-hmm.
They were projected reel-to-reel, and with the projectionist at Paramount put up the reels in the wrong order. So it went 1, 2, 3, 5. It was the whole movie was on 5 reels, and he put them up 1, 2, 3, and then the fifth reel, skipping the fourth reel. And it's kind of interesting. We had David and Jerry and I were in the audience. We had different reactions. I had gone out for a few cocktails before the movie, just because I was so nervous. And so when the fifth reel came up instead of the third, my reaction was to think, oh, good. I always thought we had a pacing problem. The reel, really, it's moving quite well.
But and I was actually relieved, because at a Hollywood premiere, they're all rooting for you to fail anyway.
Right, right.
So I thought, oh, this is a complete screw-up. Now we have an excuse of why the movie bombed. So, yeah.
And I just ran up to the projection booth and screamed, take it off. It's the wrong reel. You ever seen the movie Hardcore with George C. Scott?
Yes.
He goes up to the projection booth, and he can't stand watching this movie with his daughter. And so he screams at the projectionist, take it off, take it off. And that's kind of what I felt like. And the guy is arguing with me. And saying, no, this is the right reel here. And I said, no. Finally, he did stop it and looked. and said, "Oh yeah, I guess this is."
The whole thing is ironic because Jerry's daughter then became a porn star. So yeah,
you're right.
In real life, yeah,
yeah.
And I keep going to her movies and screaming, "Take it off!
Take it off!" Yeah. So he actually lived it.
I mean the clothes, but I mean the movie.
I got it.
No. So the funny thing was though that after the first seat on the next reel, the Ron reel, and so then he stopped it shortly after. And played the writing because that was what was supposed to go next. And afterwards, a whole bunch of people said, "Well, I think it's great, but I don't think you should." So apparently they thought that was a choice. I don't know.
But I can only imagine how you felt because this, if I've got this right, this is the first time you're showing, quote unquote, the entire movie of Airplane, and it's on, you know, the Paramount lot. With Paramount execs and you know everything's riding on this, and it's a total screw up as far as the projectionist is concerned.
Well,
I mean, you must be crazy.
Yeah, well, that we had. It's funny. This was the premiere, and it was a screw up. But we had seen the movie in front of audiences and knew that it worked. And all that, but there was a screening on the Paramount lot, a kind of a preview, a first test screening,
right?
That was just a disaster. I don't know where they got these. They didn't recruit an audience. I mean, and so we were pulling people off the street who were in line to see Laverne and Shirley, and it was just. It was just terrible, except for one guy who laughed all the way through, and we ended up cutting the next version to one guy's laugh.
We're talking to David Zucker, Jerry Zucker, Jim Abrahams, directors of Airplane, writers of Airplane, author of the book, Shirley, You Can't Be Serious, Don't Call Me Shirley, the name of the book, and we're going to do more with them in just a few minutes, but right now it's the bottom of the hour and time to get into the WGN newsroom.
It's an entirely different kind of flying.
It certainly is. Yes, Airplane. You heard a clip from Airplane, one of the great clips from Airplane, here at 720 WGN with John Landecker. We're in the middle of a great conversation with David Zucker, Jim Abrahams, and Jerry Zucker, who wrote, directed, the movie Airplane, and an author of a book, Shirley, You Can't Be Serious, The True Story of Airplane. I want to go back to your youth, if you will, for influences, because I recognized and related to all of them, such as The Untouchables, Sea Hunt, Dragnet, Mission Impossible, The Marx Brothers, Mad Magazine, and how those characters, so to speak, were the germ of the idea for the actors that you got to do Airplane, because they were all very manly, or, I mean, they weren't known for comedy, so to speak.
Well, we grew up in an era when things in the media were both literally and figuratively portrayed as black and white. Were good guys and bad guys.
Right.
You're right. Robert Stack was the FBI guy. Lloyd Bridges was, forget the name of the diving show, good guy.
Sea Hunt.
Yes. And there were no sort of shades of gray. There was no mixed emotion. So our instinct from the time we were little guys, long before we started to do stuff together, was to suspect that you don't have to take that stuff seriously. And
we would talk back to the TV and put in our own lines.
Right.
Yeah.
So when we got together to the most marvelous of coincidences, really, and none of us had anything more interesting going on in our lives, we decided it wouldn't be fun to poke fun at this sort of simplistic way of looking at life. And that's what we did. That's certainly what Zero Hour did with their characters, and that's what we tried to make fun of in Airplane.
And a big help was that we all read Mad Magazine, and they literally had a feature called Scenes We'd Like to See, where they set up a serious situation in a movie, and then they pull the rug out from under it and do the punchline, and we realized, well, you know, you could do parody. You can make fun of this stuff.
You know, I had a subscription. I was into Mad Magazine totally. What? Me worry? So, the genius of this that you guys put together is sort of the opposites attract, if that's a correct term, where you have these very straight, forceful, almost stern actors who are known for, you know, their very serious roles, and you write these lines for them, and the comedy comes from these guys almost not knowing what they're saying, literally, and hearing it coming out of, you know, Robert Stack's mouth in a totally serious delivery, that's funny, which I think was a brilliant idea.
Well, it's exactly what we...
I think it worked on a level that we hadn't anticipated, because, as you said, the idea is not to take things seriously. Mm-hmm. But when those guys signed on for those parts, which were essentially making fun of their own careers, they in fact were having a laugh at their own expense, which is very endearing.
Totally.
And it's what made the movie work, and which enabled us to get away with a lot of the jokes, but it also made it very hard to pitch to a studio and get financed. I mean, what we were going to say, we were going to these places and saying, we want to do a comedy without comedians. And the three of us want to all direct it together, and we'd never directed before. So it wasn't a slam dunk when we'd walk into studios.
You know, the three of you directing before, I mean, the Directors Guild of America, I think, insisted that there only be one director, if I'm correct. But you fought that or somehow got it changed, right?
Yeah, the Directors Guild kept
that
go ahead,
was
Jer.
Untenable to us to the point where I actually changed my name legally to Abrahams and Zucker's. So just in case they wouldn't give it to us, they couldn't prevent me from using my legal name. So that's but fortunately, by one vote, actually the vote of the directors, the first time they considered it, they denied it. Then we went back, and the second time, it was tied, and a guy named Gil Cates, who was acting president at the time, was voted in our favor.
Well, we were already shooting the movie for two weeks.
A much lesser known story is that three of the jokes that we wrote for Airplane were disallowed by the Writers Guild because they determined we were under the influence of an unapproved substance. And so we had to cut those from the movie.
So, we had to turn in all our glue bottles,
Well, you mean the movie could have been rated THC instead of PG? I mean, I don't...
The movie was rated PG, which is hard to believe now, but a PG-13 hadn't been invented yet.
You know, that was something that just dawned on me yesterday, thanks to a listener, because I'm looking at it and going, how could this be PG? And then I went to, watching some animal documentary on Netflix about dogs, and that was rated PG. And I'm like, no, hold on. How can a documentary about dogs be rated PG and Airplane be rated PG? But the simple reason is that they didn't have PG-13 when Airplane was released. I mean, time marches on. So you got Robert Hayes, Julie Haggerty, Leslie Nielsen, Robert Stack, Peter Graves, Lloyd Bridges, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Ethel Merman, and Barbara Billingsley. Now, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Okay, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Let's talk about that, because he's obviously not an actor, but he's a big part, and I don't mean that, I both literally and figuratively, of the movie. What was the story behind getting him to do that part?
Well, I think actually we went to, our first idea was Pete Rose, was not available because he was playing baseball the summer that we were shooting. So it was
He was inspired. The whole notion of casting a famous athlete was inspired by Elroy Crazy Lake Hirsch in Zero.
In Zero, yeah.
Because you can pretty well spot, like, who's the non-actor here. and the guy in Zero Hour, the guy who played the co-pilot, I mean, it looked like they just drafted the production accountant for that. I mean, he made Elroy Hirsch look like, Olivier.
So, how do you get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? What's the process of approaching him or his people to get him in the movie?
You offer him money.
And he turned it down at first.
Uh-huh. Do you know why?
The agent said, yeah, go ahead.
His agent said he wants to buy, he needs $5,000 more. He likes the script, but he needs to buy $5,000 more because he wants to buy an Oriental rug. And we thought, oh, my God, that's the best line we've ever heard from an agent. You know, I would like, we believe that. But, you know, we really wanted him. It wasn't that much more. So, okay, we said yes. And then, like a month later, there's a photo of Creed in Time magazine posing in front of the Oriental rug he had just bought.
I love it. We're going to do more.
Agent was telling the truth.
We're going to do more when we come back on 720 WGN.
It's Lieutenant Hurwitz. Severe shell shock. Thinks he's Ethel Merman.
You'll be swell. You'll be great. Gonna have the whole world on a plate. Starting here. Starting.
Everything's coming up roses. 720 WGN, John Landecker at 847, talking to David Zucker, Jim Abrahams, and Jerry Zucker, who wrote Airplane and are the authors of Surely You Can't Be Serious, The True Story of Airplane. Finally, a book you can judge by its cover. So, Ethel Merman, how do we get her into this?
I think her money. Jim was a big Ethel Merman fan.
Okay. Yeah, we were each Ethel Merman fans, and that was, you know, probably if somebody sees the movie today, they might not know who she was.
Right.
But
yeah, I,
on the other hand, I don't think if we were to do the movie today, I don't think that we would call the airline Trans America.
You know, I was thinking of that today. I had the exact thought. I had the exact same thought.
A lot of things happen in 45 years. Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah. You know they do. So the thing that's wonderful, one of the many things that's wonderful about Airplane is it's funny till the very, very end. And what I mean by the very, very end, I mean the end credits. Crane Grip, Dolly Grip, Polly Grip are three of the credits. And then out of nowhere comes author of A Tale of Two Cities, Charles Dickens, which has absolutely nothing to do with the movie whatsoever. And then it reminds, have you seen the first, did you ever see the first Deadpool movie?
Haven't seen any of them. But
they do exactly the same thing.
It's yes.
Yeah, it's full of that kind of stuff.
Oh,
yeah, and
our instinct was always anything that a normal movie takes seriously, you should make fun of. So why do serious end credits?
Right.
And I think we did that in a bunch of movies. I didn't know Deadpool did.
Well, they did. In fact, that was the first time I'd ever noticed. I think they did it right off the top. They didn't wait for the end credits. It was like... And I can't remember exactly what the credits were, what the jokes were, but they were there. And I hadn't seen that before. And then I saw the credits for Airplane, and I'm like, hey, now, wait a minute. Here's a fun quote from Here's a fun quote from Jim. When airplane is really cooking, it elevates stupidity to an art form. that's true to a certain extent. There's no reason why stupidity can't be an art form.
In my weak moments when I'm feeling worse about myself, I'll go on YouTube, and they'll show people watching Airplane for the first time, people who weren't even born when they made it. And the most common comment, you know, they kind of say, "Oh, that's so stupid." You know, it's a big building with patients, you know, and those lines, you know, it is stupid, but it kind of works.
I know it. I mean, stupid with quotation marks around it. Okay,
yeah, there
I mean,
you go.
Yeah,
right.
You know, in the book, members of the cast share some reflections, and one of them, Julie Haggerty, you know, blowing up the autopilot, claims that she had no idea that there was any other meaning to it or interpretation of it other than that autopilot needed air. And I'm like, really?
Well, that's how she was acting it. Yes, I think she, in real life, knew what the joke was.
I'm like, please, you're in Hollywood. You're not that naive. Come on.
Right, but she could really portray naive. She was amazing. Yeah.
You know what?
And she was actually really sweet. A lot of that is really her.
You know, one thing I didn't see, I don't think I found in the book, and every time I watch Airplane, I'm wondering when he's in Drambuie. And this fight breaks out between these Girl Scouts. Who are they? Wow. I mean, they really beat the crap out of each other. It's just,
They did.
Yeah, they really did.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Drambuie was a kind of, wasn't Drambuie a kind of liquor?
Absolutely. Drambuie was a kind of liquor. It was like an after dinner drink. Sure, you bet.
Yeah.
And also, I want to make this point before we run out of time. Staying Alive by the Bee Gees is used in that scene. And I was watching the movie again. I'm going, isn't that going a little too fast? I mean, I've been a DJ on radio and for decades, and played, you know, all those songs when they came out, and it is going fast. You guys sped it up.
Yeah, we asked them for permission. They actually gave us permission.
Is there a reason that you wanted to speed it up, or just do it for the hell of it?
I think we wanted to make the jokes come quicker.
Okay. Well, it certainly worked for me. I mean, that was really something. Did any of the other actors initially balk at doing this until they finally got what was going on?
Well,
Peter Graves
thought it was the most disgusting thing he had ever read. I think his family kind of, you know, liked it and thought he should do it. But more important, Howard Koch knew him. Howard W. Koch was one of the producers, and he and John Davison. And Howard was at one time president of the Academy and president of Paramount and a director himself. So he knew all these guys, and he could call them and say, "Oh, come on in, meet the boys." And so he got him to come in, and I guess Peter Graves must have at least thought we weren't like drugged out, morons or something. I don't know.
You know, I think it's important to note as we wrap this up that after Airplane changed comic films forever, and you guys went on to do Top Secret, direct Top Secret, Ruthless People. David, also, let's see, what else? Basketball, Scary Movie. David did The Clouds and Phone Booth. And that's the movie with Colin Farrell and Kiefer Sutherland, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
Oh, my Colin God. Farrell. I love that movie. That is
thank you.
Fabulous movie. And by the way, if you haven't seen it, not a comedy.
No, that's not a comedy.
No.
I did not direct it. So.
Oh, well, my bad. I'm only reading a paper, what's on the paper. Well, anyway, thank you for being with me this hour and responding to the questions and facts that I did get right.
Thank you.
And I'll just go back and edit out the ones that aren't, you know. And this is the way it really went. David, Jerry, Jim, once again, directors of Airplane, authors of Shirley, You Can't Be Serious. Thank you so much for being with me, really.
Thank you, okay. John. This is
thanks,
fun.
John.
Yeah, thanks.
And that was a good question.
Right. I'll remember that for next time. Or even that's the next right. guest. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, bye. Oh, man. Whew. Well, you can understand how that movie was funny, huh? I mean, they are like zip, 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 zip.